Welcome to episode 34 of the Transforma Tu Inglés Profesional podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Smith. Today, I will be talking with Alistair, an amazing coach from my team, all about what an argument really is, why a compliment is not a complimento, why you need to know the word warning, the difference between familiar and familiar, and why an orchestra needs a conductor but not a conductor. This podcast helps you push your business English communication skills to the next level so that you can grow professionally and achieve your international career goals. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. Enjoy! Hi everyone. Today what we will be doing is we will be giving you six extra helpings of false friends. Now this all really came about because we came across a list of 100 false friends, and as we were looking through it, we thought there would be quite a few that would be for you. These actually are a little bit less common, but at the same time they can be very, very helpful. So as usual, I am here with Alistair. Hi Alistair.
Hi, Daniel. Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Yeah, everything great. Thanks.
Fantastic. Yeah. So six extra helpings. Now, that's kind of an interesting expression to start off with, right? Yeah. Because some of our listeners might not actually understand that particular expression, right?
Yeah, helping. Well, it sounds like help, no? Are you that? To help someone. But a helping of food is a portion of food, a certain amount. So you have... So, for example, you have like the breakfast buffet, not buffet. That's a common mistake. So
In
English, where you have French words of French origin, like ballet, buffet, we try to pronounce it, or we do in the French way. So not pronouncing the T at the end, whereas in Spanish is perfectly, well, correct and acceptable. You say buffet, ballet, the painter's monnet and manette. And in England or in English, we'd say monnet, manet, buffet. So
That's right.
Going off on a tangent there again.
No, but it's a good point. It's a really good point. Yeah.
So all the time my friends say, you know, the buffet. You say, try not to say that in English, buffet. It sounds much, but it doesn't sound good to say buffet. I suppose people think you're a bit ignorant, like, oh, you don't know how to pronounce it properly in the French way. No?
Yeah.
Which is silly, really, but well, that's what happens.
No, but it is a good point, and I think lots and lots of people make that pronunciation mistake. So, absolutely. Buffet is the right way to say it.
So, yeah, you're at the breakfast buffet in the hotel, and people fill their plate to the top, and then when it's empty, they go back and get another helping of food, so another portion, so keep filling the plate. So, yeah, this is another helping, helping of food, an extra amount.
Yeah, and it reminds me actually of a situation where children, for example, they often, when they're speaking in English, they might want more food and they say, can I repeat, please? Okay, can I repeat, please? Which is obviously they're just using exactly the smart, puedo repetir, right, in Spanish.
Yeah.
And in English, you can't say, can I repeat, you know, like, can I repeat? In terms of food, what you would have to say, can I have an extra helping or can I have some more
food?
But you can't.
Not repeat.
Yeah, not per repeat. That's right. Yeah, you can repeat something back to somebody else. Like if it's a sentence or a word, right? But yeah, so it's kind of an interesting thing. So yeah, helping is an extra portion of food, right? And it kind of very much connects to the whole famous story of Oliver Twist, where he was asking for an extra portion of food, right? Can I have some more?
And this was not acceptable in Victorian workhouses or whatever they are, orphanage. I can't remember exactly what it was.
Yes.
He got into big trouble by daring to ask for an extra helping.
Yes. Good. So let's get into those extra helpings. The first helping is the word argument. And so what is the confusion there, Alistair, with the word argument for Spanish speakers?
Yeah, well, you have exactly the same word in Spanish, argumento. So one letter different, an O at the end. Mm-hmm. And what's the problem? Well, false friends, the problem is same word or appears to be the same word, but two different meanings. So an argumento in Spanish is el argumento de la película or el libro is the, what would we say, Daniel, for that? We wouldn't say the argument of the book or the film.
No, we wouldn't. No, we wouldn't. We would use the plot, the word plot. Mm. Yeah,
the story, plot, you could say, what the story.
Yeah.
or the plot, but not the argument. So then the question is, so what's an argument in English? So what is an argument in English, Daniel?
Well, this really happens, I suppose, in contexts where somebody would say, oh, yeah, I had a discussion, right? Mm. A Spanish speaker might say, I had a really bad discussion. With my wife, yes. And of course, they're thinking of the Spanish word, which is discussion, and they just kind of taking it directly over to English and say a discussion, right? Mm. Now, in English, obviously, the whole word of discussion is fine, okay? But discussion generally means that it's between two parties that are sort of just talking about things in a very relaxed way, right? Mm. But actually, that word is not really the right word, right, Alistair?
Well, exactly. So this is the main problem, not so much with the argument question, although that happens sometimes. It's the discusión from Spanish. So Spanish speakers will say, as you said, you know, I had a big discussion with my, I was discussing with my boss this morning about something. Now that could, well, that could be ambiguous, no? If you say you say, well, discussing, do you mean you were talking about something, just debating, having a conversation about a topic, but calmly and reasonably and rationally, or you were having a discussion, which is an argument. Hmm. So it's two different things. No, and a discussion can become an argument. So maybe you began having a simple discussion, talking about something, and then if it started getting heated, you know, like calentito, you start shouting, insulting, then that discussion turns into phrasal verb, it becomes an argument. So it's two different things. So, and it's easy to confuse in Spanish translating discutir as to discuss, and it isn't. It's
That's right.
To have an argument, to argue as a verb, or to have an argument, una discusión.
That's right, exactly right, yeah. So you have to be careful between those two and kind of always think about exactly what will be the right sort of translation into English. And normally it really is, as Alistair was saying, is like if it's heated and you're kind of very emotional, then you'll always go to the side of argument, right? I had an argument with this person. If it was something more relaxed, especially like it's more likely if you're speaking to your boss that hopefully it was a discussion, right? Hopefully it was a discussion rather than an argument.
It's not a good idea to argue with your boss.
That's right. Usually. That's right. Mm. Yeah. So, important to get that distinction right, especially, you know, so that you kind of make it very, very clear to the person what type of conversation you were having, you know, whether it was really, you know, very, very bad or whether it was generally okay.
Yeah. You know? And then that the argument of the book is not argument in English, it's the plot.
That's right.
Or the film.
That's right.
There is one example where the meaning of argumento and argument could be, I think, is the same, which is a legal argument. So a lawyer preparing their case to go to court will prepare their arguments. So it's what they're going to say in the court to argue the case of their client. So in this case, obviously, you're not having an argument with the judge, which is not a good idea. It's like with your boss. And it's not a discussion either. It's presenting your case based on law, your legal arguments. So in that case, argument has more of a similar meaning to the Spanish argumento.
Yeah.
But only in a legal sense, not in a general sense.
Yeah, I mean, you actually can use it. Imagine that you have often in sort of Oxford and Cambridge, they have also these sort of debating societies. Mm. And if you kind of get into a very formal situation, a sort of formal debate, you might almost say to somebody else, I agree with your argument, but there are some elements that I'm not so quite so sure about. So there, again, it's very much linked to what you were talking about just now, which is the kind of a legal argument. It's a way of, you know,
your presentation of your sort of the facts of your what you want to say. So in that argumento in Spanish and English can mean the same thing, but not when you want to say discutir. No, this is the
that's
where you have the problem with the translating una discusión as a discussion. You say no, it's an argument, but then we also have the other meaning of argument. As you say, in a debate, you can attack the other person's argument. Mm-hmm. Which is similar to sort of legal argument in a sense.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. So that's very good. Very good. Yeah, very young one there. The second one that we wanted to talk about today is the whole area of careers and degrees. Mm. So maybe we could kick this off. That's another expression in English, to kick off something, which is basically to start. Maybe we could kick this one off in terms of me asking you, Alistair, whether you have a degree and what type of degree you have.
Well, I do have a degree, and my degree is in politics. So I have BA honours? BA is Bachelor of Arts, I think it means.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I have a BA honours degree, to give it its full title. But most people just say, I have a degree in politics from Hull University.
Very good.
And you, Daniel, do you have a degree?
I do. I do. I was a student for a long, long time, so I have a few. My first one, I'll talk about my first one, which was from Nottingham University, where I studied town planning. Okay. Well, town planning is a little bit of a strange subject
Urbanismo, is it?
Yeah. Basically, the translation is urbanismo. Yes. That's that. And it's obviously quite connected to architecture more on a macro scale, more than anything else. But yeah. That's basically what I studied. And I got a BA as well. A BA, of course, this kind of very interesting, because basically, as you said, it's like Bachelor's of Arts. Both of our subjects were in the arts area, right?
Humanities,
yes, that's right.
So you also have BSc, which is a Bachelor of Science. So if you have a degree in chemistry, mathematics, physics, engineering, I suppose, they're all BSc's, Bachelor of Science. So you have arts degrees and science degrees. Basically, is the division. And art, division, you can interpret like humanities or...
Yeah. At this point, it might be worth talking about the next stage that some people go on to, which is obviously after you've had your undergraduate degree, you often go and do a master's. Now, in English, we always have the S at the end, master's, whereas for some strange reason, most Spanish speakers say master. Yeah, master.
Yeah, un master.
Yeah, and they don't say the S at the end. So if you're speaking to a native speaker, it's much better to say, I did a master's degree. Okay, that's how you would probably say
it. Yeah, so it's an abbreviation, actually, isn't it? When you say a master's apostrophe S, a master's what? A master's degree. But often we just don't say degree. You just say, I have a master's in whatever, town planning.
That's right.
But really what you're saying is I have a master's degree in town planning. Which is not a plural. It doesn't mean two masters.
No,
it's apostrophe
that's
S.
True.
It's easy to mistake.
It is.
Or confused, rather.
Yeah. So where's the real problem here, Alistair? I mean, because what we often see people making mistakes in this, with this particular vocabulary, right? They might say something like, I don't know, during my career, I studied something, right?
Or the question.
That's the key problem.
Or the question we just asked each other. So I could say, do you have a university career?
Yes.
And this is not correct.
Course.
It's a university degree, un grado. But you now have a career. So what is your career now after university?
Exactly.
Do you have a career in town planning, Daniel?
Well, I used to, but I don't anymore.
You've changed your career.
There you go. I've changed my career, And so that's really important, isn't it, to get that very, very clear that career is very much related to the whole thing after your university experience, right? You finish university and then you start your career, right?
Yeah, it's working.
Yeah.
So in Spanish, they have carrera profesional. So in English, career only means una carrera profesional. It doesn't mean carrera universitaria.
True. That's right.
Which is a
degree.
Right. So yes. Yeah. So I study politics. So neither of us has a current career in the thing we studied. So I study politics. I have a degree in politics, but I'm an English teacher.
Yeah, sure.
For example. Sure. Which is very common, in fact, especially with art subjects.
Maybe
if you do science, if you study engineering, you probably become an engineer, for example, or study law, you may not necessarily become a lawyer. Or if you study medicine, you probably become a doctor. But often in arts or humanities subjects, very often people end up, which we've done before in a previous episode, to end up doing something completely different. So their career is often very different to what they studied at university, to their degree.
Absolutely. In fact, I was discussing this recently with a few clients of mine.
Not arguing. Yes. You weren't arguing.
No, I wasn't friendly. It was friendly. I was discussing it with them and they were surprised, in fact. I said, you know, lots of people might, in the UK especially, I don't know, maybe in other countries, but certainly it was my experience that, you know, you might do a degree in geography and then you go and work for a bank.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that is absolutely possible. Yeah. There's no issue in terms of something like that. It's very flexible.
Yeah, because what do you do with geography? You become a geography teacher Or, I don't know, well, there must be some jobs obviously directly related to geography, but not many. It's quite an exclusive area, no? I don't know, map making or something. But so, yeah, most people study things like history, geography, politics. 95% of people probably never work in that area. They do something complete, work in insurance company, banking, many kinds. So the employer is really looking at, okay, you have a degree in something. It doesn't matter what it is. But that indicates to the employer, theoretically, that you have a certain level of intelligence, you're able to learn, and therefore you can learn new you can be trained in a completely different type of work because you have the basic ability and intelligence. So all they're interested in, do you have a degree? Yeah, history. Okay, you can work in this bank. We will train you how to do whatever it is you do in the bank because we think you're a capable, intelligent person. I say theoretically, not necessarily. But in theory, if you have a degree, you have a certain level of intelligence.
That's right. Exactly. So there you go. There are the difficulties in terms of degree, career, the different types of degree you can have in terms of masters and, you know, bachelor's as well. So there you go. Very, very important one, that part. Very important, partly because you need to get it right in key moments, right? If you need to, when you talk about your degrees and all those types of things, it's often related to interviews. So you want to get that right. You want to be able to say that you did a degree in this. And then after that, you say, my career started when I did this and this. I was first employed by this organization. So it really makes it super clear, because otherwise there is a real danger that people will be kind of talking about, well, when did you start your degree? Did you start it, well, at university? But you don't start your degree at university, you know, you don't start your career at university.
I started my career at 18. You go, oh, you're really that young? So you didn't go to university. You started working.
That's right.
No.
That's right.
I had my degree in Oxford. You mean that you studied. So you got a degree from Oxford, not a career. So yeah, it could be very confusing. Also, if they're interviewing you in English as a Spanish speaker, because there's a job that requires a high level, good level of English, obviously it's not just the fact that it could be confusing. It's like, oh, your English is not very good.
Sure.
So that's the main problem in that situation.
Yeah.
So you don't even know how to say degree in English.
Yeah. So you have to make it very, very clear that degree is everything related to the university and career is everything after. Mm. You know, like your career is basically moving from one company to another company, or it might be that your career has just been in one company, whatever it might be.
The career ladder we talk about.
Yeah.
The career ladder as you move up and are promoted within an organization or a company.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So there you go. Super important. Really, really important. The third helping of our false friends today is the word advise, right? To advise someone. Now, what is the problem here? What do Spanish speakers sometimes get confused with, Alistair?
Yeah, well, advise sounds very similar to avisar. It's almost the same word, but it doesn't mean the same. So again, false friend. So advise means aconsejar. So it's to give somebody advice. Now, it's also, that can be confusing, the pronunciation. So when it's a verb, the S is pronounced like a Z sound. So to advise.
Yeah.
But when you say the noun, un consejo is advice with a C, pronounced like an S. So it's quite confusing.
That is confusing.
So you give somebody some advice, uncountable, remember?
Yeah, remember that one.
People haven't heard that episode.
Not advices.
Not advices. Or an advice doesn't exist. So you give somebody some advice and you are advising that person about something. So the pronunciation is slightly different, quite importantly. But anyway, but the problem is to confuse with avisar in Spanish. So it isn't, it's aconsejar. To give consejos, no? To give advice. Yeah. So then the question is, okay, so avisar in Spanish, how do you say that in English, Daniel?
Exactly. Well, it's a quite different word. It is the word warning, right? I need to warn you. You can use it, it can be a warning to warn someone. I think it's important that we warn him about this.
Or to give somebody a warning.
Yeah, as well, which is again slightly different, where imagine somebody's done something wrong, you give them a warning, and then if they keep on doing it, then eventually something will happen, right? But
sometimes clients make a mistake where they'll they want to warn you that they can't attend the class or the session next week or something. And they say, I'm advising you. I give you advice that I can't attend the class, or I advise you. And you say, no, you're warning me, not advising
That's
me.
That's right.
Because there's no advice there. What advice are you giving me? Nothing.
Nothing, no.
You're just telling me something that is going to happen that you want me to know in advance. So warning can also be like danger, no? Danger, warning, dangerous chemicals or electricity. So it's often used on signs, no? Warning signs to give people.
Or even in a car. In a car, we discussed this earlier as well, You can have warning lights, of course.
That give you some information to say, you know, you're running out of petrol or there's a mechanical fault, problem with the car, no?
Yeah. Yeah, on the dashboard, you can have several warning lights on the dashboard, or you can have warning lights in the middle where you kind of press the big button in the middle where
triangle,
you maybe,
I think, isn't
yeah,
it?
And you're on the side of the road, you've maybe got a problem with a car, and you press the warning light so that people know that you are stationary, right?
Yeah, flashing lights that warn other drivers that you've broken down, no? Or at least you're parked there. So you're warning other people, like, be careful.
Yeah.
So you can, So you can give, also in your job, if you, I hope this never happens to any of our listeners, but if for some reason, I know you're late several times for work or you're not doing your job very well, your boss may give you a warning, say, okay, this is the first warning, don't be late again. And then you do it again. And maybe if you're lucky, they give you a second warning, and then you have a final warning. And after the final warning, if you do it again, you're out. So you're sacked.
That's right.
Or fired or dismissed, as we spoke about again in a previous episode.
Absolutely. Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. So really there, the key element is to remember that word warning and use it appropriately, right? It might be a particular, of course, the W sound can be tricky in terms of pronunciation, right? For many people, but in this case should be okay. All right. It shouldn't be too difficult. Warning. Yeah.
Yeah. Not to confuse it, not confuse it with advice. This is the thing to avoid.
Yes. That's right. That's right. That's right. Good. And for the next helping of false friends, we have the word compliment. Okay. Now, compliment might get confused with complemento, right? But what is actually complemento in English, Alistair?
Well, a complemento in English is an accessory, often in plural, no? Complementos, accessories. So you could have a shop that sells accessories. So it's often belts, handbags, scarves. So you have your basic clothes, like a woman, for example, with a dress, and maybe she wants some accessories to go with it, like a matching handbag or a scarf or something like this, no? So this would be accessories, to accessorize, in fact, you can use as a verb.
Yes.
But nothing to do with compliment in English. So it's very easy to confuse that word complemento, complementos, and say compliments. I need to buy some compliments for my new dress. You say, no, it's not compliments. So again, the question is, what does compliment mean in English?
That's right. Exactly. So that's the key issue here is what does that actually mean? And the real translation of compliment, which is really important to know, is piropo, right? Or cumplido.
Or cumplido. Right? Un cumplido.
Yeah.
So saying something nice about somebody, no?
That's right.
So if I pay, I give you, you can use it as a verb directly to compliment someone, or you can give someone a compliment, and you can even pay, although you're not paying anything. So it's not pagar dinero. It's just to give. It means so Daniel, I don't know. I'm going to pay you a compliment.
Okay, go on then.
Well, I think you're an excellent podcaster. you do it very, very well. An excellent, really good podcaster and a brilliant teacher also.
Oh,
in fact,
wow.
You're just an all-round, superb, wonderful human being
and
a good friend. So I'm paying you a lot of compliments there.
Yeah, that is amazing. Wow, that makes me, that made my day.
Don't worry, you don't need to return the compliments.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah, well, that was really, I love that. But
we like to receive compliments, don't we, from other
people?
We do. Well, not necessarily. Sometimes can be a bit embarrassing if people,
of course,
you know, are too exaggerated with their compliments. You go, no, stop, please, don't. I'm not that fantastic, really.
But there is one context where you might want to use this particular kind of expression, like a frase hecha, in a way, is when you're in a restaurant, right? And you want to say something about the food, and you want to use the word compliment. But how would you say that to the waiter or the waitress?
Yeah. So you've had a wonderful meal, the food is excellent, and you want to make sure that the chef knows that you appreciate the food that they've prepared. So you might say to the waiter, my compliments to, well, you could say, could you give my compliments to the chef, or just my compliments to the chef? And then the waiter go, okay, they go into the kitchen and say, one of the diners or the customers wants to pay you a compliment. No, they said the food was exquisite. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So that's paying somebody a compliment or giving someone a compliment.
Yeah.
My compliments to the chef.
Yeah, you can say give, or just literally my compliments to the chef.
You don't need the verb at the beginning because it's understood what you mean.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that? Have you ever given the compliments to the chef in a restaurant? I've never done it,
but I think my dad might have done it a few times.
Sort of quite formal thing to do.
It is.
Because you might say to the waiter will ask you, how was your food? And you say, oh yeah, it was wonderful. It was very nice. So you tell the waiter you enjoyed your meal. But I don't think I've ever then said my compliments to the chef, which is a pity, really, because you're saying to the waiter, but you're not communicating it to the person who actually prepared the food.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. So I mean, it is a bit formal, but I think that some people would absolutely say that. No problem at all. Yeah.
Especially in a sort of a famous chef in a Michelin star restaurant.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
That would be the sort of situation you might do it, where you may know the name of the chef because they're quite famous and say, oh, my compliments to the chef.
Yeah.
But maybe in a normal restaurant eating normal food, you probably would never think to do that.
That's right. Absolutely. Good. Right. Two more that we've got for our listeners today. First one being conductor. Okay. Conductor. Mm-hmm. Now, this is obviously in English, we pronounce this conductor. And in Spanish, we would say conductor, right?
Just pronounced differently.
Exactly the same. Absolutely. And of course, in Spanish, it means conductor means driver, right? Mm. But what would it mean in English, Alistair? I mean, what would that really mean?
You could be a conductor of an orchestra, of the Royal Philharmonic or something. So a conductor is dirigente, I think, in Spanish. Well, dirigir un orchestra. I'm not quite sure what you refer to as the person. Director. Yeah, director. Now, an English director would be a film director or the director of a company, no? But not an orchestra.
Yeah.
It's the conductor. Mm. So the conductor conducts or directs, but we don't use the word direct, the orchestra. So that's one kind of conductor. And then a long time ago, I remember, I think they still existed when I was a kid, a teenager even, you used to have in UK, in Britain, in Spain, I don't know, bus conductors. Do you remember bus conductors, Daniel?
I do remember them, actually. Yes. And absolutely.
And what did they do? What was their function on a bus? So the bus conductor is not the driver. It's another person. The driver is the driver, the bus driver.
That's right. That's important to make clear. The conductor actually, is not driving at all. He's actually walking up and down the bus. If it's a double-decker bus, he goes up and down and double-checks your tickets, essentially. Yeah. So he's kind of making sure that everybody has paid and is allowed to be there, essentially.
Yeah. Or selling you. In fact, they used to have these little machines
around their neck. Yeah.
And if you didn't have a ticket, they could sell you. Where are you going? You say, I'm going to... Okay, that will be whatever, £1.20. Yeah. And they produce a little ticket out of this machine, ticket machine, I suppose it's called.
Yeah.
And you give them the money, and they'd have a bag with the money. So they'd have two things, their little ticket machine and their little bag of change, of money. So you give them, I don't know, £2, and they give you the change. So basically they're selling, either checking you have a ticket or selling you a ticket.
That's right.
Now the bus driver can't do that because they're driving the bus. So they can't be walking around the bus checking tickets. So there were two people usually working on buses in the past. Now they don't exist. So the bus driver is the driver and the conductor in a sense.
Yeah, a two-in-one
situation. So it's cheaper. Obviously, the bus companies realized, we can save money. We just have a driver who has a machine. And when you get on the bus, the driver sells you the ticket and then drives the bus. So the job of bus conductor has completely disappeared, I think. At least in the UK. Well, in Spain, neither. So I don't know if there's still some countries in the world where you still have bus conductors, but I doubt it.
Yeah, yeah. Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows?
And maybe in the future there will not even need, they might not even need a driver.
Yeah, because it will be auto drive, right. Whatever they call it, driven by a computer.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Good. Yeah. So that's hopefully makes it very clear the difference between a conductor and a conductor. They are sound so similar, but mean different things. Mm. So it's very, very interesting. And the last one for today is familiar, right? Mm. And familiar. Familiar and familiar.
So again, same word pronounced.
Absolutely same word. Mm. Yes, absolutely. Seem very similar, mm. right? But let's start with the idea of like a fiesta familiar, right? Mm. Would not be a familiar party, right?
No. It would maybe in the party you meet somebody who seems very, who isn't a member of your family. You say, mm-hmm. you look very familiar. Do I know you? Or mm-hmm. you sound familiar, no? That's the use of familiar yeah. as an adjective.
Yeah.
But yeah, you right, would say yeah. a family party. So in fact, that's the right. noun family is also the adjective. So when you say algo familiar, like a fiesta, a family party, a family meeting, family gathering, it's a nice word I like, mm-hmm. gathering. Mm-hmm. It's like to gather together is like juntarse, no? So when you bring yeah. your family together for Christmas or something, is a family gathering. Or a family, yeah. I love a nice family Christmas.
Yeah.
For example, no? So we use the word family as your family, as a noun, mm-hmm. and as an adjective to describe something connected with the family, like a family yeah. party, no? Not a familiar yeah. party.
Yeah. Because when you use familiar, it means que te suena, right? Yeah,
algo. It's like, tu cara me suena.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Tu cara me suena, like yeah. from the famous TV program.
Yeah. Your
right?
face looks familiar.
Yeah.
Do I know you?
Yeah.
Have
that's
I seen
right.
you
that's
before.
Right. Yeah.
So that's yeah. what familiar means in English. Something is familiar to you. You think yeah, you recognize it from the past. You're not quite sure.
That's right.
So yeah. this film seems familiar. I think I've seen it before, but I'm not quite yeah. sure.
Absolutely.
But it seems familiar. No? Now, I think yeah, in Spanish, absolutely. One of my clients told me the other day, talking about this, he said, you can use familiar in Spanish with the same meaning, but you have to say, me resulta familiar.
Familiar.
So you could
okay,
say
yeah.
la película me resulta, or tu cara me resulta familiar. And in that yeah. case, it has the same meaning as English.
Sure.
So that's okay. Sure. But not just a familiar party. That's not correct.
Sure. That's right. That's right. Exactly. Right. Yeah. Yeah. You can also talk about the whole idea of un familiar mío, right? Yeah. Which is kind of a thing as well. But you, again, there, that changes it slightly because you can't say a family or my,
familiar.
I don't even know how you would, a familiar of mine yeah. or something like that, right? That would be the
yeah, so I'm spending Christmas
problem,
with my
say.
Familiars,
yes.
familiares.
Yes.
You know? So in Spanish, yeah. un familiar or can mean a member of your family.
That's
but in
right.
English, no, you'd have to say a member. So I'm meeting a member of my family or something like this.
Yeah.
Another word, well, in Spanish you have another word, pariente, which is Tamil, is okay, un yeah. familiar. And in English yeah. we also have another word that you could use to mean
yes.
the same,
yes,
which is?
For familiar. Relative.
Relative.
Yeah, a relative.
Relativo.
Yeah.
But obviously in Spanish, yeah. So relative means relativo, like time is relative or Einstein's yes. theory of relativity, no, is
yeah.
it's all relative, but also a relative is a person you're related to,
yes,
which is a member of your family, no, so your brother, sister, etc., your aunt, uncles, brother-in-law, sister-in-law, they're all members of your family or your relatives. So you say, I'm spending yes. my Christmas with my relatives,
yes, exactly,
but not my exactly. familiars.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So where do your relatives live, mm. you know, for example? Where do your relatives live? Oh, yeah, they live in this place and this place, mm-hmm. you know? That's how you
or
would
many.
Ask
Do you
it.
Have many relatives?
Do you have many relatives?
Big
yeah. yeah. Do you see your relatives often?
Yeah.
You know, like mm. all that type of stuff. So, mm. yeah. Yeah, important to know that. So, fantastic. Yes. And so, going back to that, your party, which you can't use, mm. right, which is very important, what we do want to do for the next episode is talk about the word party and explore that a little bit more, mm. don't we, Alistair? Because well, we've recently talked about that and it kind of opened a whole can of worms, which is another expression that we have spoken about
yeah,
in
it
the past.
Yeah, expanded and expanded as we talked to.
That's
going, oh,
right.
There's a lot. There's different meanings of party in English. And
that's
then there's
right.
the whole concept of translating fiesta from Spanish into English. When
that's
it's appropriate
right.
to use the word party, when it isn't, different kinds of parties. So it's quite a complex issue. So we were going to mention it in this, But we thought, no, this is a whole topic Absolutely. We can cover in an episode. It's quite a That's complex right. thing.
Yeah.
But interesting, I think. And quite, it's sometimes yeah, absolutely. It's also a cultural. It's not just a question of necessary translation. It's a cultural concept right. as well that can be different
absolutely.
Between English yeah. and Spanish. What is a fiesta exactly? Because in Spain yeah. you have various types of fiestas. And not yes. all of them are parties in the English mm. use of the word. So that's where it gets
absolutely.
A lot of confusion with clients using party too often or in the wrong way.
Absolutely. So that's what we'll be discussing next week, which will be super interesting. We've already kind of set it out and planned it out, and we're kind of looking forward to doing that. But today I'll just give you a quick summary of those six extra helpings of false friends that we gave you. The first one was the whole word of argument, okay, which is different to argumento, which is actually a plot. And you have to be careful when you are talking about or know the difference between an argument and a discussion in English. Okay, so hopefully we've cleared that up for you. And the second one was all the difference between career and degree. This is very useful if you are heading into an interview and you need to make sure that you got it very clear what the difference is. Degree is very much related to what you did at university, and career is after that moment when you started your professional experiences, okay, working at different companies. The third one is related to advice and or to advise someone, let's say, and you shouldn't say I'm advising you, you should say I'm warning you. So the key thing there is to get to connected with the word warn, to warn someone, because that is really the way that you should use that particular avoid that particular confusion, right? So warning. Then the fourth one was compliment. Be careful when you to avoid the connection there with complemento and compliment. They're two different things. Complemento being an accessory and compliment being more of a piropo, right? So related to the idea of complimenting someone.
I paid you some very nice compliments.
Yeah, and I feel fantastic now. Good, so that's good. Really
all
fantastic.
True. All true.
Then we did conductor and conductor, which is basically conductor and conductor, right? Conductor being for the orchestra or the bus, whereas conductor, obviously in Spanish, being the driver. So important to get that distinction. And the last one was fam, and how you need to be careful where you can't just say a family party or familiar party. That's it, a familiar party. You have to be careful that you avoid that particular idea, right? You can't say a familiar party. That's not possible, okay? Familiar is when something is that you get to suena, right? This is very familiar for me, mm-hmm. right? You'd have to say a family party if you really wanted to go down that the translation
exactly
route, okay mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's it for this episode, I think. But hopefully all of those extra helpings of false friends make it really, really clear. Some of them are really very important, a little bit less common than the other ones that we've spoken about in the past, but equally important because, you know, if you make mistakes there, it does show that you haven't got it quite clear in your mind. And especially when those important moments, you know, whether you're in an interview or you're trying to kind of make it clear about a discussion that you had or an argument that you had, all of these little details really, really are very, very important. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And to so people understand what you're trying to say to avoid confusion. And also it shows you have a good level of English because you know how to use these words correctly and not confuse them with Spanish words. Because then what you're doing effectively is speaking Spanish in English. If you say things like, you know, I'm advising you when you're warning someone or et cetera. No? So that's, or the conductor driver thing. No? The argument, discussion is perhaps of all of these, maybe the most common mistake.
Yeah, it is. It's very
saying
common.
I had a discussion with somebody. You say discussion, you mean you were just talking to them or you're arguing with them?
Yeah.
It's two different things.
Very, very common. Mm. Very common. Yeah. Okay. So next week it's all about parties and partying. So hopefully it'll be super interesting. And as usual, Alistair, thank you very much for your time. Really amazing. I really enjoyed it.
Me too. Thank you very much. A pleasure as always.
And I'll see you again next week.
Yep. All right. Ciao. Bye.
All right. See you then. Bye.